Hey folks, in this episode of our show, I'm interviewing Dick Wound of the Off the Cuffs podcast, and he's into some pretty extreme kinks. So we got into some kind of intense discussions, and I wanted to give you a content note off the top. There are a lot of these. Some of the things we cover in this episode are fear play, knife play, murder, death, sexual violence, hue cow slash milking, car accidents, vomiting, drinking pee, drowning, breath play and suffocation, hanging, impact play, torture, genital injury, and open wounds. I know that's a lot. If any of that is tough for you, I would not blame you at all for skipping this episode. Thanks! Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and a big fucking perv. I don't have my co-host here, Bex, this week. He's taking a week off, but I do have another sex podcaster. We're all basically interchangeable. this is Dick Woon. Hey, Dick.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm great, and I was very excited to see you actually say the welcome to
bit. So you're actually physically in my room, which is weird because mm-hmm. you're a dude from the internet and you're in my space.
Ouch. I'm a dude from the internet. Wow.
I recently went to like a sexy storytelling event, and because it was October, I decided to tell like my one like scary sex story, which is like a story about us. And because we did like fear play and like knife play, and actually like one of the scariest parts about that story is like I got on a train to Long Island to go meet a guy from the internet who I'd never met before to have him use knives on me.
Yeah,
pretty weird.
I remember talking about that, and I remember like the beforehand talking about that, and then I was like, oh, didn't I send you like all of my like personal info to give to Bex?
Yes.
Be like, look, this is, and I think I was even like, I was like, that was a kind of right after I got divorced, and I was like, the address isn't right, but like this is my address also. I remember trying to be like extra like,
yeah,
here's
yeah.
all my stuff.
I remember that I tweeted, I was like, I'm going out to Long Island to meet a random guy from the internet to do knives with. It's less creepy than it sounds. And someone replied, and they were like, does your mother know? And I was like, well, no, but like Bex knows, and like he will fuck somebody up if anybody tries to hurt me. So yeah, I felt pretty good about it, as far as like that's like the safest I've ever felt being around somebody who was holding a knife near me, probably.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell me about knives, because like every time I would tell people what I was up to around that time, they would all seem like so freaked out by it. So like, what is knife play? What do you like to do with knives?
Well, I mean, if you take it down to like it's there's kind of different categories you could put it in. So like one, like the sensation, a lot of people like being scratched with mm-hmm. fingernails. It's sort of like an amped up version of that. That's mm-hmm. kind of the most basic way to put it. The other things that you can fold into it, you mentioned fear. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, that's a really easy way to kind of amp up fear in a situation when you're let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. Don't just pull a knife out on someone. No, in a situation that's like, you know, where you're going to be doing play with a person and they want to be scared,
mm-hmm.
You know, a knife is a really easy way to do that. You pick up a knife, all of a sudden, and it's being pointed at you, there's no way that you're not going to feel like a little bit smaller or like kind of, you know, yeah. crawling into yourself a little bit. So it's a really easy way to do that. The thing that I like most about it is that I'm not really good with like floggers and whips and things that are like long and clumsy. Like it's weird because I'm about to say I'm a clumsy person, but I'm a clumsy person when it comes to like throwing things or like aiming with, as far as like a whip or something like that. And it never feels like satisfying to me. I always feel mm-hmm. kind of disconnected. But like with knives, it's something solid in my hand. And, like, I feel like I have total control over it, and it's mm-hmm. very connective, because, like, you know, it's not just the knife touching the person. You put your hand on a person and kind of hold their skin or hold their body so that if they, you know, if they jump, you're not, you know. And it's just, it's like weirdly intimate, mm-hmm. I think. It's like intimate, but it also can be scary, but it also doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of different things with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my most vivid memories from that first scene that we did was, like, you kept coming at me with the knife held up like you were going to stab me in the heart, but then you, like, wouldn't, obviously. I'm still alive.
Obviously.
But it was just, like, it really, like, got me freaked out, and, like, I was very, very curious about fear play at the time, and I think I've, like, ultimately realized that it's, like, not something I wanted to be, like, a huge part of my sex life, but I was, like, really, I wanted to know that. Like, yeah. I wanted to find that out.
Yeah, I think we kind of found that out that night.
Yeah, the story that I told, I didn't know what was coming, because, like, you didn't want to tell me everything, because you wanted there to be, like, a fear element, or an element of surprise. And I was, like, all subspacey, and you were like, do you know what this is? And I, like, had my eyes closed, and I had to, like, turn and look, and it was a staple gun?
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was so spacey. I couldn't even, like, figure out what it was at first, and I was like, I think it's a staple gun.
Yeah.
And you were like, are you scared? Are you gonna safe word? And I'm like, I'm such a good girl in, like, all kink scenarios that I was like, of course I'm not gonna safe word, but, like, does that mean you're gonna staple me? Like, truly, like, the thing that scared me in that moment was, like, not even the staple gun, but, like, the thought of, like, disappointing someone.
I know. And then, like, when we, like, kind of unpacked it and talked about it, I was like, oh, yeah, like, that totally makes sense why that didn't make.
But it was good. Like, I learned a lot about myself. And yeah. Now I have a great story to tell forever, so thank you.
Good. You can make me sound like an asshole who threatened to staple gun you.
So you're interested in fear play from both sides,
yes.
Which I think is really interesting. Do you prefer being, like, a top or a bottom when it comes to fear play?
I think it's hard to answer that because, like, I always want to say my preference is to bottom,
mm-hmm.
but that might be a grass is always greener situation because mm-hmm. it's very rare that I get to bottom
mm-hmm.
in a fear situation. I think. I'm just as comfortable doing both, but I think the longing for actually feeling scared is something that I miss. So therefore, I'm like, oh yeah, I want that more. That's mm-hmm. that's the one I want more. But yeah, I kind of default to being the top in most of those situations.
Yeah,
and I hope I don't sound disappointed when I say that because I very much enjoy doing things like that.
Yeah.
Imposing and, you know, I it's just different than like impact play or other forms of play. Like fear play, you don't have to do that much physically,
mm-hmm.
but you can do a lot, and it's like playing with a lot of areas that are like what's the right word, like it's kind of hard talking about this stuff like kind of like right now too with just the way the world is
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
kind of playing with, you know, the fear of putting someone in a situation they don't want to be in or mm-hmm. being like a bigger guy and physically imposing, standing a little too close, like mm-hmm. you know, doing things like that, and like even like when I like talk about like, oh, like what my aesthetic for like a top in that situation would be, it's like kind of serial killer-ish, like and of course, like, that's not what I want to do. But, you know, like, I've read up on, like, a lot of serial killers and stuff. And like, I don't, like, read those things and get, like, turned on. I'm not, because mm-hmm. it's like, that's a horrible situation.
Yeah.
But when you remove yourself from that and you're like, oh, like, you know, like, think about, like, Ed Kemper being this giant monster that's got this tiny like woman trapped in a car with him, and I'm like, oh, like that's like that power fucking imbalance is like what's hot about it, and so like I try to kind of do that
mm-hmm.
to people and just yeah.
Yeah, and like when you talk about like how the world is right now, like I think there are a lot of people who would be like, well, like everywhere is scary and there's like sexual violence everywhere, like in the news and everywhere, and so like I think a lot of people would like not want to do that in kink because like, they get enough of it. But then I also know people, like myself included, who, like, when that stuff is ramping up, I do actually want to do more of that in kink, because it's, like, in kink, I can, like, specifically negotiate the thing
sure.
that I want to do. And, like, when a man has been, like, non-consensually, like, intimidating me or coercing me or whatever, like, I kind of like to play with that in kink, because it's, like, I feel like I get that experience back. Like, I get my agency back in a weird way.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah. I found, like, I don't know if I was always, like, consciously aware of it, but definitely more recently, like, if I'm, like, walking anywhere, like, mm-hmm. behind, like, someone, I try to, like, not follow them too close or be aware of my personal space, just because, like, I know, I mean, when you talk to me for 4 seconds, you're like, oh, you're just a big dumb nerd. But, like, I'm kind of a big grizzly lumbering fucking yeah. monster. So, like, you know, like, I'm sure, like, walking down a street at night with me behind you probably is not super good. So I try to, like, you know, boundaries and all that. But then, like, with that said, like, that's exactly what I then try to use in, like, a kink setting, where I'm like, no, like, now I'm going to get close and stand behind you and just breathe on you for a few minutes.
Yeah, I have often told you that I think you're, like, one of the nicest people I know, and I know that you hate it when I say that.
That's a whole other discussion.
So one of the things that I thought was so interesting about you when I first met you was that one of your kinks is your own death. Which I always say that to people, and they're like, what? Like, can you tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's kind of this weirdly, like, I'm still learning, like, more and more about it, like, as I go. And it's funny, because I interviewed someone for my show recently that said something so interesting to me. Because mm-hmm. I always try to, because I've had to explain to people in the past, like, I'm not suicidal. I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. I, you know, it's not about that. It's about, like, the peril. It's about the feeling of helplessness and, like, the impending doom. Like, that's sort of the thing that is what's getting me off in those situations. Mm-hmm. And the person I was interviewing was like, yeah, like, if you, like, once you're dead, the fantasy's over. And I was like, exactly. Like,
well, it depends on what you think happens after you die.
Well, that's true too. And there, it's funny, because I do, again, this could be a whole other conversation, but there are, like, I don't think about the death part. I think about the stuff leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And then that's the fantasy. But then there are things, like, in role plays that I've done where people have been, like, they've said, like, when you're dead, I'm going to do XYZ to you, or, mm-hmm. like, leave you, like, in this humiliating situation or position or whatever. And, like, I find that hot. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't ever, like, role play being dead and, like, dressed weird or, like, left with my head in a toilet or something, like, right. You know. Yeah.
That reminds me of, like, I've noticed sometimes that when I'm, like, getting close to orgasm and someone is, like, describing the things that they're gonna do to me after I come, for some reason that really turns me on, and that feels like almost the same thing.
I could see that. Yeah. But I don't know if I answered your original question, sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's really weird because, so, you know, so many times we talk about fetishes and, like, where they came from or this or that, and it's mm-hmm. like, you know, did it come from this trauma and you're trying to reown it or reclaim it, or did it come from just something you saw somewhere, or just it did it just come from nowhere,
right?
And, you know, and with the death one, which I've been calling it life play lately. Which actually I pleaded to, like, listeners of my show, I was like, someone come up with a better name than auto-assassinophilia, because it's, like, you don't want to sit there and be like, auto-assassinophilia, like all these syllables, like, it's like a tongue twister.
It's not catchy.
No, it's not. And, like, so a bunch of people wrote in all these really cool suggestions, and one of them was life play, and I was like, that's cool, because it doesn't have the instant, like, oh, this death thing stigma tied to it, but it's playing with life and death. And right. I was like, oh, that's really neat. Uh-huh. Oh my God, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You mentioned your show, and I realized that I totally forgot to say that, like, okay. You have a show. It's great. It's called Off the Cuffs. You talk about kink, and they're some of like the most like high level kink nerdy discussions I've found anywhere. Like if you're if you're like into weird shit, like this is a podcast you need to listen to. But so I'm curious because like you were talking about like theories of kink formation, which is like such an interesting topic to me, and like you've interviewed like tons and tons of kinky people. So like from doing all those interviews and from like your own personal experience, like what do you think is where kinks come from? Do you have like a working theory on that?
It's situational, not mm-hmm. only person to person, but fetish to fetish within that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can identify where certain fetishes of mine came from, and then there's other ones that I'm like, whatever, like it's just there. And like foot fetish stuff, for mm-hmm. instance, like I have no idea where that came from. Mm-hmm. I can't like pinpoint the origins of it. I also, on the other hand, know that it's like one of the most common fetishes. So yeah. It's just like, well, that makes sense. I'm just another number in that, you know, pond or whatever. Like, it's like nothing special about that one. Like, just
pretty normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, there's the like armpits and like that sort of came from seeing like damsel in distress movies, like woman tied with her arms overhead. And like,
mm-hmm.
that was like what kind of made me start to find that alluring. And then there was other things along the way that kind of evolved it and changed it. And then the death stuff, which, mm-hmm. you know, I saw something on TV, a person being threatened to be killed. And I was like, that's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that was what I found hot. And then I almost died / did die. And two different instances. But like that, like fucked me up mentally, like mm-hmm. and then I kind of used my existing like fascination with death fetish stuff to kind of overcome that. So there's like, even in me, like I'm like, oh, there's three different fetishes that are all different origins, all different reasons. So I think for some people, sure, you could just be like, oh, that person's into that one thing because this, mm-hmm. and sometimes that's right, you know, mm-hmm. but then other times, who fucking knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have some that I think are just, like, in there and have been in there for as long as I can remember. And then I have ones that are, like, newish that have sprung up over the last, like, year or two that I'm like, well, where did that come from?
All the fucking time. Yeah. All the time. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing about doing the show I do, because I'm like, all the time I'm like, oh my god, now I'm into this? Okay.
Yeah, what's like a recent time that you've like picked up a new kink or curiosity from one of your guests?
Hugh Cow.
Oh yeah, okay. My friend Sue's just writing about this. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked to someone and it what's really funny about it is that I'm into like kind of nerdy like super heroine in peril type like mm-hmm. stuff, and so like I troll like DeviantArt for like pictures of like Supergirl tied up with a kryptonite dildo being shoved in her, things like that. Okay. And like I'm like, like real
that's
fucking
the good stuff.
Yeah, that's the good stuff, right? And so I would find like ones of like super like it would be like Wonder Woman like hooked up to like a milking machine or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be like, nah, whatever, like I'd scroll past it. It didn't like disgust me. I just was like, whatever, like not my thing.
Yeah.
And then I talked to someone who was like into this like milking thing, and they mm-hmm. just the way that they framed it, I started like looking at it a little bit differently, and I was like, oh, like, wait a minute, I think I do like this. And then, so, like, I've been like, talking to that. We talk in, like, a group chat or whatever, and I've been, like, finding these pictures of, like, super heroines being, like, milk. And I'm like, hey, look, here you go. Like, I found this thing. Like, and as I was doing that, even, I was like, no, this is really hot. I'm into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably, like, one of my newer ones.
Cool, yeah. It's so interesting how, like, talking to someone about their kink, sometimes, like, they can explain it to you, like, why they think it's hot, and you're like, okay, whatever, like, I don't really get it, but, like, good for you. But then other times, like, they can explain it in such a way where you're like, oh, actually, that is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, an example that I think of from your show is I was listening to the episode with Mistress Couple one time, mm-hmm. and she was talking about balloon fetishism, which is something that I've just, like, never had any interest in at all.
Right.
And she started talking about how, like, blowing up the balloon slowly until it pops is, like, kind of phallic. Like, it's sort of, like a dick, like, building toward orgasm and then, like, coming. And I was like, why am I into balloons now?
Like, yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah.
I asked like Twitter for a bunch of questions, and it's actually like really hard to interview you in a, like, cohesive way because you just have a million kinks. And I just want to ask you about so many of them. But one thing that I think is really interesting is, like, you're really into, like, smells and sweat and, like, armpits and stuff. And I think, like, our world really tells, like, especially women that, like, their bodies should be, like, sanitized and we should, like, smell like flowers all the time.
No.
Like, how do you how do you convince a partner that they can, like, skip deodorant? And, like, how do you, like, make them feel comfortable with that?
I think it's funny because I think at this point in time, mm-hmm. when I, like, meet a partner, they often, like, know a lot of my stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, it's not, like, hard to approach it or, like, bring it up. Let me, like, dig into my deep, dark past. I guess just, it was just a matter of, like, being with a person long enough to get, like, comfortable enough with them to be like, oh, this is something that I enjoy, like, would you mind, like, not wearing deodorant or, like, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, you know, throw me your socks at the end of the day or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. just, and, yeah, I don't know, it's weird, because, like, now, there's really not anyone that I'm, like, partners with that doesn't already know that stuff about me, so it's yeah. much easier to just be like, hey, like, don't wear deodorant today. My girlfriend is, she hasn't worn deodorant in months, like, she doesn't, she just absolutely stopped for me, so mm-hmm. like I'm like, all right, cool,
it's so romantic.
She's found it, like, weirdly empowering too, because she, like, rides, like, the subway to work and she's, like, you know, crowded in between, like, a bunch of dudes and she's just like, I don't fucking smell me, guys. Like, you know, like, it's like and even it's, what's really weird about the smell thing is that I find the more partners I share that with, the more they actually convert to being into that too. Hmm. So, like, I'm totally, like, calling my girlfriend out here, but, like, Lexi will, like, she's into, like, how I smell now, too, and, like, mm-hmm. I've been here in Toronto for a week, she had me, like, wear the same t-shirt for a week and get it, like, real fucking dirty and gross. Aww. And she's been, like, she made, like, a fake me out of pillows and has, like, this shirt, so she's gonna kill me. No. But, like, you know, she's, like, sent me a picture of the shirt, like, wrapped around her face, and I'm, like, that's, like, cute. And
that's very cute.
Yeah.
I still, like, I get really cringy. My partner is into, like, panty sniffing, so he'll, like, sometimes, like, take off my underwear and, like, put it in front of his face, and, like, I've been, like, walking around in it all day, so, like, every single time this happens I'm like, oh, like, I don't know if you want to do that. But I think, like, over time and, like, repetition, I've gotten slightly more comfortable with it, but there's still a part of me that's like, I wouldn't, but okay. It's hard. Okay, so you're the man of a million kinks. But put that on your business card. But I'm wondering if there are any kinks that, like, you just can't get down with that just, like, squick you out.
I have so much trouble answering that, and here's why. I've had a few conversations recently about this. So I don't know if there's nothing that I'm into or if it's just that I'm not aware that I'm into it yet.
Okay.
Because there'll definitely be things that, okay, like some ASMR type stuff, like food sounds, like gross, like, mouth sounds and mm-hmm. stuff like that. That always used to be like, I used to be like, oh, that's disgusting, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, like, very recently have started kind of being like, oh, like, that gross mouth sound, like, I kind of am into that type of thing.
Is it, like, the fact that you find it gross that is hot to you?
I think that might be part of it right now, but that mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean it always will be.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes me a while to, like, wrap my head around it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then what's funny is that even if I don't find it gross or, like, shameful or whatever the, you know, the thing, that barrier is, mm-hmm. I'll find myself, like, when I'm, like, full on, like, just swimming in that fucking kink pool, like, you know, I'll start to sort of, like, dial my brain back to the time where I was, and, like, that's the thing that ends up getting me off.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, how would someone, like, would you have someone, like, chewing food, like, next to your ear during sex? Would that?
I don't necessarily know if it's that, but, like, I don't know, like, I feel a little unqualified to, like, talk about this, maybe because it's very, very new. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just starting to kind of understand it. I have someone who, like, sends me, like, videos of them eating mm-hmm. and, like, just shoving food in their face. And I'm like, okay. And then we sat and watched someone on YouTube eat honeycomb with, like, a high-intensity microphone. And it's just, like, this, like, wet, like, yeah, yeah. Like, I can't even, like, it was, like, this sloppy, like... And, like, they were getting, like, oh, like, I can't. And I was, like, no, I'm, like, kind of, like, weirdly into it. Like, I don't know. So I'm not sure yet. Like, I don't know how it would work into, like, say, my sex life. But, mm-hmm. like, it's definitely something that I'm looking into.
Mm-hmm. YouTube is just, like, full of shit that, like, is not supposed to be porn at all, but like,
but it totally fucking is.
Yeah, I was looking up like tutorials one time on how to like polish my leather boots, which like a lot of people are into that for kink purposes, but I was watching a dude do a tutorial who was like not doing it in a kinky way at all. I think he was like a workman, like mm-hmm. a construction worker or something, and I was just having a lot of feelings about like watching him like rub oil onto his boots. I was like, I have to stop watching this, this is weird. What else do you like on YouTube? Now I'm curious.
I actually like there's oh man, you're gonna make me do this. All right.
What?
Well, no. Okay, so not all of it's like kink stuff.
Yeah.
like if I go to YouTube, it's like my like my secret like thing is like Russian dash cam videos.
Okay.
Watching like angry drivers or like car accidents and things like that is okay. like that's like very soothing to me in a weird way. I know that makes no sense.
I mean, I know you and it makes sense about you, but.
But like, I'll have trouble sleeping at night and I'll throw on like a video of like car accidents and people yelling in Russian and it like fucking puts me out like a baby. Like, so I don't know if it qualifies as a kink thing, but.
That's so messed up. I love it. Did you hear, I don't know if you heard recently, me and Bex were talking on the show about this, like, Russian face-slapping competition we found on YouTube.
Is that episode have a slap pun in the title?
Probably.
It's queued up, I haven't listened to
okay,
it yet.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, sorry, go on.
We found this video that's, like, again, not really a kinky thing as far as we can tell, but it's, like, a couple of Russian dudes having a competition of, like, who can slap the other one's face harder. And it's just, they're both, like, big, beefy dudes, and we had some feelings about it.
Yeah. The last episode that I listened to was the butt, I can't remember the name of it, butt something or other.
Something with butts, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't finished it. I started it on the plane
mm-hmm.
When I was coming here, and you feel free to cut this out, but you were talking about anal and like wanting to vomit. Like when, like,
oh,
or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, so you felt some ways about
and,
that.
And that actually gave me some, it was like, well, that's kind of fucking hot. Like, and then I was like in my brain, I was like, just fucking puke. Like, just do it. Like, no, like,
no. That's like not at all a sexy sensation for me, but like.
No, I understand.
I know that for a lot of people, not yeah. a lot, but like, there is a contingent of people for whom that is sexy.
Yeah, well, it depends on the context. Like, I had someone throw up by accident once, like, mm-hmm. while doing, like, oral, and, like, I felt fucking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that was framed differently, mm-hmm. and, like, it was, like, done on purpose, I would have been like, yeah.
Love fucking someone in the ass so hard that they throw up.
Well, see, no, I never even thought of it that way until you said it, and then I was like, oh, that's, like, that's kind of a fucking thing now. Like, I'm like, and I'm not even like into like ass fucking. Like, and I'm
oh,
like,
I thought you were gonna say you're not into vomit, but no, of course you.
All right. No, of course I'm into vomit.
I gotta do some research on vomit play now. I'm so curious about like how they set up their scenes and like I guess you gotta lay down some kind
tarps,
of
tarps,
like,
shower curtains, something yeah. like that. Yeah, you can get like. Cheap shower curtains at the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, not just for like vomit play, but like any type of like, you know, filthy play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just did some water sports recently for the first time.
I saw a bit of that. I was following a bit of that on Twitter mm-hmm. and I meant to follow up the rest of it or ask you about it, mm-hmm. but I didn't yet, so.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I've been curious about it for a really long time, and I actually, like, used to drink my pee when I was, like, 10 years old. I'm, nice. Like, pretty much only telling you this because you're, like, you're Dick Wound. You're, like, man of a million kinks. I feel like I can tell you anything.
I'm sorry if I, like, turn this around and now I'm interviewing you.
No, I mean, no, we're good.
We could change the show around a little bit. Welcome to, the Pocket Pussy Point Dexters.
Oh my god, that's our competitor. No, it was great. I wrote a whole big blog post about it, because I really wanted to, like, capture all the stuff that happened, but my partner was like, I really want you to piss on me, and I was like, okay, where? And he was like, literally anywhere.
No, it was the way you said, I'm sorry.
So I was like, okay, like, in your mouth? Like, I just wanted to, like, check, like, probably, like, the well, I was going to say it's the riskiest one, but, like, there are probably riskier places you could piss on someone, I guess.
Eyes,
yeah.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't recommend it. I think that's like a don't do that type of thing.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
God.
Because burn.
Now I'm feeling like I definitely probably got it in his eyes. Like, it's really hard to aim that shit, you know?
Right.
Anyway, I peed in his mouth a whole bunch. I was really proud of him.
Nice.
Do you have water sports feelings?
I'm into water sports more in a... So, I, when I was younger, drank pee too, but it wasn't like... It wasn't when I was 10. It was more when I was like a dumb, dirty teenage punk who would, like, drink a bunch of beer and then be like, oh, drink fucking glass of piss, like, like, just being fucking dumb and, like, you know, with a bunch of dumb friends, like...
You know, drinking piss, like teenage punks do, for right. sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I was already, like, familiar with it by the time...
You had a palate for piss,
sure.
You might say.
I'm into it. I'm into it in, like, I guess more of, like, a degradation type of way, but okay. where I go with, like... a lot of bodily fluid or like water sports type things is there's an issue of the Punisher, the comic book where, mm-hmm. Frank Castle has a plastic bag like taped over his head and then urine pumped into it. They're like interrogating him.
Oh my God.
And, like, drowning him in a bag of piss. Ugh. And it's like, you're like, ugh. And I'm like ready to start jerking off. Like, it's so fucking hot to me.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think the storyline was called The Intruder or something like that. Punisher Intruder. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can get it in like a little graphic novel form. Very good. But yes, piss drowning is like sort of where it's at for me. Like, I'm like, I would like to be drowned in someone's urine because that seems humiliating and awesome.
Cool. Give me ideas. Pretty neat. I feel like when I was a baby kinkster and like had hardly done any kink, I would often be like really intimidated by people who were like really openly kinky and like had like pretty intense or unusual kinks because I was like, well, they're not going to be into or they're not going to be satisfied by the types of things that I want to do, which like are sort of like the basic bitch of the kink world. Like a lot of my kinks are like spanking or like choking or like pretty basic things that like a lot of people even who consider themselves vanilla would do. So like, do you still enjoy doing that type of stuff or have you transcended it?
Like basic bitch kink stuff.
Yes.
Is that a,
yes.
I did air quotes by the way.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think that it's like, I have like a really weird stance on this where it's like, I understand calling it a basic thing, like mm-hmm. foot fetish. Like I even said that before, like I'm just another number that's like into that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, for some people, like, that thing is their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it's like something, I think the way that, I think media representation has a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
And like when you look at kink in a movie, it's either guy sucking on woman's foot,
mm-hmm.
or, like guy spanking woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and like, that's like sort of, it. You occasionally see choking, too.
Maybe some bondage.
Light bondage usually it'll be like a joke about like, give me that necktie. And then mm-hmm. you don't actually even see something. It'll just be like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, and like, and I specifically like kept that like gendered because like, that's how it's represented mostly.
Yeah.
So I think that when we start talking about those fetishes that kind of fall into that sort of mainstream, oh, it's easy to kind of joke and be like, I'm into this thing, or I am into this thing, it doesn't disqualify it from being a thing. Like, okay, so you even threw like choking in as like a basic bitch thing. I could think of like okay, maybe like if someone's fucking and like you put your hands around their throat and like cut off their you know, blood flow a little bit, make mm-hmm. them lightheaded, you know, whatever. Sure, like you could count that as like basic, but then you have other people that do breath play with fucking nooses and like fucking throwing. I just did something the other day where I wrapped fucking plastic wrap over someone's face, and then and did like, you know, hand smothering stuff, hand like pinched their nose and put my hand like. There's like ways of doing it. I don't even necessarily think that the ways of doing it are what make it more intense, but like. Even, like, there is that element of it,
mm-hmm.
but then there's also the element of, like, maybe you just fucking really like being choked, and, like, that's your thing, that's fine. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know, like, I don't know if I... It's such a weird conversation, because, like, I always feel bad saying basic, or, like, starter things.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're not necessarily that, but they kind of have become that because of the way they're represented.
Yeah.
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 Did I just, like, completely, like, fuck that?
No, okay. I actually really appreciate that perspective, and, like, I know that, like, you've kind of, like, reassured me about that before, because, like, yeah, I'm, like, really into spanking, and sometimes I feel like, more advanced kinksters kind of, like, look down on that, and that's, like, as you said, like, kind of shitty and, like, exclusionary, so...
Yeah,
that's good. I wanted to talk to you about spanking a little bit, actually, because I think it's really interesting that we have, like, totally different approaches and, like, how we like to go about that. Because you always say that your approach to impact play is you're, like, a shark.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, so, as I was saying before about, like, the whole being, like, physically imposing thing, I think I use impact as more of, like, the salt and pepper of like the the, you know, it's like it's advancing the fear, it's adding some pain to it, it's making someone more vulnerable, it gives you like the fear sweats because you're being hurt, like the pain sweat, whatever, like you know, people smell differently when you start hitting them and then they did, and like again, like tying in another thing with scent and everything, like love hitting someone and then like getting up and like smelling them and like smelling them start to sweat is like, that fucking really does it for me. but the reason I say like a shark is my preferred way of like playing with someone is to have them actually like chained up, arms overhead in the middle of a room. Mm-hmm. So I can get like 360 like around them and circle them, stand behind them, get too close. Even like, you know, talking about like, okay, like, so if I'm smelling a person, that's like kind of giving into my like fetish, but like imagine being like tied up and having someone just like behind you start smelling you. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So like I'll do, you know, like the whole shark thing I think is more like related to that. And then the impact stuff, the way we come at it differently is I know you like a lot of like warm up and like build up for, you know, and then you can actually take a lot of heavy hits, but you need it to be like built up, and like I, as a bottom, don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be chained up and just beaten.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause the way I look at it is more like I like to be tortured or interrogated.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why, if you were torturing someone, would you just lightly, like, tap them on the bottom or whatever? Like, you know, I want to get hit with a baseball bat in the leg. Like, you know, like, I want to, like, that's, and, like, and so that translates to... like when I switch top and bottom, some of my stuff does not align, but impact completely aligns. So I have like almost no interest in like warm up spanking. So I have no interest in spanking really. Like I'm not like, I don't want to hit someone on the butt. Like that's not really my thing. Like I want to hit them in the legs or like, you know, and, of course, like I'm not going to say like, if I'm going to play with someone who's just exclusively into the type of like impact you're into, I'm not going to force them to like do it the way I like to.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit more picky with partners and being like, okay, you understand that, like, I'm not going to, like, warm you up for this. I'm going to start beating you. So yeah. I try to find people who are, like, heavier impact bottoms to play with. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of people out there that are into that. So, like, it's not like I have, like, you know, a shortage of that. It's, you know. And I try to, like, be a con- – like, if I'm going to play with a person, like, I'll try to do – it the way that they like, you know. If I'm delivering something that I know another person likes, I can get into it in that way.
Yeah.
Just because it's not my thing.
Yeah.
But if we're doing a scene like that I want to do, like, we're going to do it the way that you would fucking hate it.
Right. Yeah, like, I used to always say whenever I was teaching or speaking or writing about spanking, I used to always say, always do a warm-up. And now, like, since meeting you, like, I've basically started being like, you should probably do a warm-up generally for most people, but, like, check in and see.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing is, like, I don't like to do, I wouldn't ever start playing with someone doing impact, like, unnegotiated and, yeah, like, not letting them know, like, hey, this isn't going to be a warm, like, you're not going to get that warm-up. So, and that's the thing is, yeah, it's great advice to, like, start with that, or, mm-hmm, or at least, like, be aware of who you're playing with is into it that way, mm-hmm, or they're into it the other way. Because if you tied me up and started spanking me lightly, I would be like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk to you about your newer podcast,
mm-hmm,
which is not about kink.
Curveball. Okay.
Well, I think it's a really cool show. So tell me about it.
Well, I think it's funny because it kind of was birthed from the sex show. Are you all right?
I've just never heard someone pronounce that word like that before.
Birthed?
just got me. I don't know why.
What is it, birthed?
You also just, like, looked at me while you said it, like you weren't sure if you were saying it right.
Because I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Listen, on my show, I say things, and then I, like, I'll dictionary them and be like, oh, that's not a word, cutting that out. So, like...
You'll dictionary them, because yeah, that's a verb. Okay.
All words are made up.
I mean, that's true. That's literally true. The Being There podcast. Tell
yes.
me about it.
So I guess through doing Off the Cuffs, and then last year I did a storytelling show. I did Risk,
mm-hmm,
and telling my story on Risk was like a totally different format than the way I usually just kind of more casually talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, like, hit up by some other shows to kind of do, like, a similar or, like, a more expanded version of the story. And, yeah, I just, like, started to realize, like, how, I guess, important, like, storytelling was, mm-hmm, in terms of, like, when it's, like, a real, you know, I mean, there's a place for, fictional storytelling and stuff like that, too. But, I mean, like, you know, shows like Risk that are, like, no, like, give us your real life. It doesn't matter if it's ugly or this or that. Like, we just, you know, and, like, laying it out there like that, I was, like, you know, I know so many other people that have interesting stories, not necessarily sex related, but, like, you know, the co-host of Off the Cuffs, Max, he was born in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's do an episode where you talk about being born in a cult.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Megan, who was almost murdered in, you know, in her home. And, like, you know, we did an episode about that. And, it's, you know, there was a couple episodes that were, I don't want to say selfish. They're probably a little selfish. So, like, last year, like, also, like, I had a really, like, close friend of mine die. And so I devoted a couple of episodes to kind of working through that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was having his widow come on and talk about her experience, mm-hmm, with that, you know, being widowed at, like, 37. And one of the best episodes, I think, is that one. And it was, like, really super personal. And then I had another episode where it was me and then two other guys that were in bands with this friend, different bands over the years. And, like, we all know each other,
mm-hmm,
but we were, and like, we're, like, friends, quote unquote, but we're not like, we weren't ever like close. And mm-hmm. like, basically the conversation is like, it's totally different format than the rest of the episode. It's not me and my co-host interviewing. It's the three of us people kind of becoming friends over the fact that we lost this friend, this mm-hmm. mutual friend. And I think that those two episodes were just immensely helpful to me anyway. And that's why I say they're selfish maybe. But I'm suggesting, you know, anyone who wants to listen to them too. But yeah, I mean, just like, storytelling and working through things like in that way, it's like sort of half interview, half storytelling style. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just seemed important, and I really like, I really enjoy doing it. It's difficult finding people for that show. but it's worth it when we get like a good story.
Yeah, I think it's great, and I also think like it makes total sense that you would go from off the cuffs to this more like personal storytelling, non-sexy type of show, because like when you interview people about kink, like you're interviewing them about like really vulnerable stuff, and you have to like have those skills of like getting people to feel comfortable opening up and like being empathetic and listening really well and stuff like that. So like I think that probably those skills translate a lot.
Yeah, it's really funny, like even talking to people, I always listen for like what they're saying that reminds me of like something that I've gone through or whatever. Mm-hmm. There was a guy that we interviewed on Being There that I kind of keep up with him after the interview. He has a lot of like mental health stuff, and he just recently was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. But he talked about like, you know, going through points of time where, you know, he was like homeless and you know, like just not doing well mentally, and like it there was so many things, like I didn't have like hallucinations or like things, like I wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like that, but just like parts of our lives that mirrored each other so much, just like kind of even like, you know, growing up and like being a dirty punk and like this and that, like that, like I was like, oh, like I really can connect to this person that's telling me this thing. And it's just like it's easier to talk to them as like, you know, and like get to the bottom of things, quote unquote. I don't know. And like, that's the other thing is like, some of the episodes don't have like a final answer to things. It's just sort of like a snippet of someone's life or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. But it's cool. It's fun. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you're doing is really amazing. And I always learn something from your shows, because you just like, you ask weird fucking questions. It's great.
I'm a weird person.
Yeah. That's like I went to like journalism school and stuff. So like, I'm like, I know like how to do an interview in like the proper way or whatever, but like, I always enjoy listening to people whose style of interviewing is like different from mine, because like, you know, it's not a science, it's an art. Like you have to like be able to read people, and like everybody takes a different approach to it. And like, I feel like I always learn something about kink and also about interviewing from listening to you.
Thanks. That means a lot.
Before we wrap up, can you tell me like what you're working on next?
What I'm working on next? What is it, in what regard? Oh my god, that's a lot. That's a big question. In what way?
Anything you want to tell me? I don't know.
Oh my. I don't know if there's like I don't know if there's like a new thing to talk about, but I mean, I'm working on my shows. I'm hoping to travel a little bit more. Just because I have a lot of friends. I've made so many friends that do podcasting, and a lot of them keep asking me about like tech questions and this and that. And like, I mean, the whole reason that I'm here in Toronto was to meet with Andrew, Andrew Gerza. Can I like say his? Yeah. Okay. He does the Disability After Dark podcast, and like he was asking me like advice questions on sound quality and this and that and recording and you know. I was like having him send me like videos of his like setup, and I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna fucking come to Toronto, because like I can't like, you know, do this remotely or whatever. So like, kind of like traveling around and like helping other people like get their podcasts like set up a little bit better. That sounds really egotistical, like as I'm saying it.
No,
fuck.
It's nice.
Yeah, like I don't know, not just like being like, hey, you should do this, but if people ask me, I'm planning on doing that, and people have been asking me, so
yeah, you know a lot about that stuff. I was like nervous about my setup when you were coming over. I was like, oh, he's gonna judge me for my single microphone and pop filter.
No, I already knew how you recorded. I judged you months ago. No. Okay.
I mean, you record in the basement of a vintage clothing store, so... But it is pretty sweet. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I felt immediately at home there because I was, like, surrounded by beautiful clothes. I was like, this is where I belong.
It's, like, really difficult for me to walk past the used shoe wall to get down there sometimes.
Fucking perv.
I know.
Okay, where can people find you and your shows online?
Any podcast app, Off the Cuffs, a Kink and BDSM podcast, or Being There. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram. my shows are OCP Kink and Being There Pod on both of those. And then my personal one is Dick Wound on Twitter, I think.
You should know that.
Wait, stall.
It is.
Okay.
Do you want to give me a quick origin story on why your name is Dick Wound?
Well, so when I joined the kink community, I was going by my vanilla name, like just my first name, mm-hmm. and like in my community, like a lot of people just kind of go by their, like they'll either use their first name or their scene name, and it's like interchangeable, whatever. Mm-hmm. But my name, there's seven other people in my community that have the same name as me. And one of my partners, one of my first partners after joining the community was, her thing was just being very cruel to me. So like, she was like, I need to think of a different name for you. You don't, like, there's seven other people named that, and like, they're better than you. You don't need, like, why would I ever want to call you? Like, all that, like, you know, whatever. So, and so this has been going on, as you know, for a while or whatever. And one of the things that we used to do is I wear this inner spiked chastity cage. Mm-hmm. And like, so when I get aroused, it hurts and it often cuts this mm-hmm. and that. And we're like sitting around after a party and like, I think I like took the cage off and there was like some blood or whatever. And like someone said I can't remember who said something, but I was like, oh, like, don't worry about it. Like, unless there's like seven open wounds in my dick, like at the end of the night, I didn't have a good time. And like, I mean, I said it just like jokingly. And my partner, Pinky was like, that's your name, Dick Wound. I'm only going to call you Dick Wound from now on. So that was how I got that.
It's very good. It's very memorable.
Yeah.
I still will occasionally, like, I'll be telling a story to a friend or something, and I'll be like, my friend who does knife play, and they'll be like, oh, Dick Wound, and I'm like, yeah, that's the guy.
Hasn't your mother said the name Dick Wound?
Yeah, she thinks you're great. I thought it was hilarious that I showed her a picture of you, and she was like, oh, he looks so nice. I was like, okay, it's not really, okay. Not his image, not on brand, but true. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This was fun.
This was very fun.
I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Bex, who's not here this week, but normally is here, is at bextalksex.com. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together we're the Dildorks. You can find us on iTunes or whatever, you know that already. And we're at patreon.com/thedildorks if you want to send us some money.
Do it.
Our theme song is by Protodome. Our logo is by Amy. And thank you so much to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
I didn't know if you wanted me to try to harmonize that with you.
It's so weird to do it by myself.
Do you want me to try to?
It's okay. It's fine.
Okay.
That was good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's very weird to do this, like, with a person actually in the room with me. I, like, never have that. I don't have, like, in-person hosts like you do.
I feel good about that.
You want me uncomfortable? Okay, cool. It fits well. It's on brand. Okay.